B'Shalach begins. Vayihi B'Shalach Paro Yesa'om. When Paro sent out the nation, V'Lenochom Elikim Derech Eretz Plishtim Kikar Raifu, the Rebbein Yisrael did not allow Klal Yisrael to go through the land of the Plishtim. Because as Plishtim Kikarevu was close, and the Klal Yisrael might have gotten scared when they saw Melchama, and they may have returned to Mitzrayim. So instead, the Rebbein Yisrael took them through the Midbar. Now, first of all, why do we need to know who sent Klal Yisrael out? Vayhi b'shalach paroi. Paroi sent out Klal Yisrael. It seems, for paying attention a little bit by laning the last couple of weeks, I don't know how much of a choice he had in sending Klal Yisrael out. I mean, he was getting hit by maka. I mean, pretty extreme stuff. You know, so all of a sudden, Paroi sent him out, vayhi b'shalach paroi. Why do we need to know that? Klal Yisrael left. When Klal Yisrael, B'Teis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, you can say, L'Nochem Elikim. And it says, V'Lenochem Elikim, Derech Ezra, and now all of a sudden, the Rishon got involved. Paroi sent them out, and then God swooped in and said, okay, they're not going to be out of Plishtim. It seems almost like, it passed from Paroi to God. So what's going on over here? It says in the Medrash Tanchuma, and when it says in the Pasuk, Vayhi b'shalach paroi, that paroi sent out the nation, Klal Yisrael, the Lashon of shalach here means he was melaveh them. He was melaveh them. He escorted paroi, not that he was the one who allowed Klal Yisrael to go out. We know he sort of didn't. I mean, there were 10 makas until he sort of had no choice. But he was melaveh them. They're leaving now. He walked with them. How much? We don't know, but he's malav with them. He walked with them. Why did he do that? He learned from his Zayda. His Zayda Paroi, when there was a Maisa with Avram and Sarah, were in the Mitzrayim, and he sent them out. So Avram and Sarah were escorted by Paroi. And it's brought down, Chazal say, because Paroi escorted them out, in the Zchus, that Paroi escorted them out. It was a tremendous chus that he had. And that chus, the Klal Yisrael, many generations later, and now what we're talking about, they became slaves to Paroi. It was in that chus that he was malava them. So Paroi wasn't giving up. He had to send Klal Yisrael out. He had no choice. There were 10 makas that came against him, and he had to send them out. He had no choice. But he says, you know what? I'm not just sending them out. I'm going to send them out, and I'm going to escort them out. You know why? Because I'll escort them out, at least later it'll come back to me, that somehow I'll get a schus. Just like my Zayda got a schus, that I was the melech over Klal Yisrael, either I myself, or my future generations, will still have a schus in Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk in Kapitel Yud Beis, Pasuk Chof says, Vayitzav lo paray anoshim, vayishalchu oisai, that same notion of a Yishalchu that Paroi escorted. So again, Paroi escorted Avram and Sarah, and this Paroi here, generations later, says, Vayihi b'shalach Paroi yesa'om, I'm going to escort Klal Yisrael, so I'm going to have some sort of schus in Klal Yisrael still. Rabbeinu Paltiel quotes something that's known, and it says, Vayihi is a lotion of tsar. So Vayihi is tsar, of pain, anguish, b'shalach Paroi yesa'om. The Chaim Taif says, what was the tsar? What was his tsar? It was tsar b'shalach paroi. Paroi had tsar. What was the tsar that Paroi had, he says? He says, Paroi saw Klal Yisrael leaving now. When Klal Yisrael were Mitzrayim, they were like mud. They were stepped on. They were not important. They were a broken nation. Now, he's watched them leaving. He was in tremendous anguish, tremendous pain. He saw Klal Yisrael now, they had the golem. He saw they were leaving with shtolz. They were leaving a nation Klal Yisrael, the greatest nation in the world. He was like, oh, now we felt, in other words, when he was sending them out, he was sending out a nation, a lowly nation. So he didn't mind, he was getting rid of a lowly nation. A lowly nation is leaving his place, his land. But now it bothered him because he saw the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael stand tall, and when they're leaving Mitzrayim, and they're following the Ratzon Hashem, they're a nation to look up to. And now he's like, oh, this is not good. And he would be tzar. It says in the Yalkut HaZoivi, like he says the same Yisoid, that Paroi was Malava him, was Malava Klal Yisrael like Avraham Avinu. And it was when Paray sent out the nation. Before in Shemois, Kapitel 8, Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk said, Paray said, I will not, told Moshe Rabbeinu, I will not send them out. So the Pasuk is now telling us, when we have in Shemois and Kapitel Ches, Pasuk Chavdal, Anuchi Ashaleach Eschem, he's saying it is Paroi, the big shot Paroi, in the beginning, before he saw the Makkos, he was like saying, oh, no one's, you know, I'm not sending Klal Yisrael out, don't tell me what to do. He b'shalach Paroi, that same Paroi that said, I'm not going to send out Klal Yisrael, he sent out Klal Yisrael. The Yalkut Shemoni says, Vayihi is Vay. Vay means Vav, Yud means woe. That Shehem Baruchim, that Klal Yisrael were leaving. He was sad that Klal Yisrael were leaving. What does that mean? Well, Pshat, many Mefarshim explain, it's the old, even negative attention is attention. God, the Melech Malchei Melechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was getting involved, Kaviyachal, directly with Paroi, through Moshe, but in other words, he kept on, the Rebbeinu Shlomo was bringing Makkos on the Mitzrayim. It was negative attention, but it was attention. Now that Klal Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, he wasn't going to get Makkos anymore. He was sad that he was not getting the Makkos anymore. What does that mean? Not that he wanted the infliction of the Makkos, but like when they say, sometimes children act up, and they say the reason why they're acting up is if you don't give them the proper attention, they're willing to take even negative attention. Not that they want to get punished, but being punished is also attention. So Paroi was saying is, vay, it was woe, that he was losing Klal Yisrael, even though that would be negative attention that he was getting, it was still better than nothing. Getting attention from the Rebbeinu Shlomo is still attention. And the Chasam Sofer says, that the Vayihi B'Shalach Paroi that he had charata, he says like you said before, Paroi had charata, he was anguished that he's sending them out, and he had charata, and we see later, he chased them. So you want to know what he was pained about? He was pained about that he was letting them out. He should say, why am I letting them out? I shouldn't let them out. It said in the Pre-Sadik that there were 10 Makkos that came on Mitzrayim. 10 Makkos. That Klal Yisrael were consistently, they wanted to get free. We said there were 1/5 of the Klal Yisrael that they wanted to get free. The Vayihi B'Shalach Paroi Es'on, he says that this was a disrespect to Klal Yisrael, those that didn't want to go out. He's saying it's like this, Vayihi B'Shalach Paroi. Unfortunately, there were many in Klal Yisrael. Achamushim al Bnei Yisrael says later that 4/5 of Klal Yisrael had to die. But unfortunately, even many of Klal Yisrael, by Yehi B'Shalach Paroi, that they had to get forced out. They didn't want to go. They got so used to Mitzrayim, they didn't want to go. So you want to know what says Yehi B'Shalach Paroi? Not that Paroi sent them out. The Rebbeinu Shlomo sent them out. But they felt as a Paroi that to push them out. That they get pushed out because they didn't want to leave. Which was not a very good thing. And it says in the Mari Bell, the Bell's Rebbe, he says is that they were sad. Who? Afilu achar kol hanisim. Even after all of the nisim, ha'om! We said, Vayihi B'Shalach Paroi es ha'om. Who's the om? The om is the Erva. It wasn't Klal Yisrael that didn't want to leave, but it was the Erva. They went, but it was the Erva that didn't want to leave. It says in the Lechem in HaShemayim, Paroi knew that, like we said before, that he was Zeicha to be the ruler over Klal Yisrael because of what his Zeide Paroi escorted Avram. So if that's the case, then it would seem that he had to get his chus here. Vayihi B'Shalach Paroi Es'on, he did it. So what was his chus? What did this Paroi over here get for escorting Klal Yisrael out? He says, Meridik, Lechem HaShemayim, a sefer written by the Chido. He says like this. He says there's one caveat, there's one condition in this whole concept of if you're malava someone. And that is you have to be malava him, and you have to know where he's going. In other words, you have to say, okay, I'm going to escort you, and you're leaving Mitzrayim, and you're going to Plishtim. And that's why the Pasuk says, Marid, he says, Vayihi b'shalach pare yasom. Pare was sending Klal Yisrael, he was Levoya, he escorted Klal Yisrael out. To where? To Eretz Plishtim. No, no, no. Ben Shalom wasn't going to let him have this chus. V'loi nocham elikim de'achayt Plishtim. The Ben Shalom didn't tell, Klal Yisrael didn't go to Plishtim, no Plishtim. Ki karev hu. Where did they go? We asked the Kimis of Derech HaMidbar. Klal Yisrael went through the Midbar. Pari didn't get his chus. Meridik. If Klal Yisrael would have gone to Eretz Plishtim, where Pari thought they were going, Pari was escorting Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he thought they were going to Eretz Plishtim, then Pari would have had that same chus that his Eid had. He would have had this chus of escorting them. But as we just said, there's a caveat. It has to be, you know, it's the going to the right place. Because Klal Yisrael went to the Midbar, there's no schus. And therefore Parai was left without a schus.
What was supposed to happen if they went to the Plishtim?
Parai would have had some sort of schus in Klal Yisrael still. He would have had some control over them, either him or later generations. Something. What? We don't know. But whatever the schus would have been, he didn't get it. And the Rebbeinu Shalom said, nope, not letting it happen. And he took them to the Midbar. As I stated in the Lechem Hashemayim. The Ben Ishchai says, when it says, Vayihi, the Medrash we said is, who said woe? He said, Parai. Because Parai, he says, exactly what we're building on the Lechem Hashemayim, he says, you know why Parai said woe? Because Parai saw it. When did he say woe? When he said woe, he was in anguish and tsar, when he realized that his escorting didn't help. He had a cheshbon. Parai thought he was going to outsmart Klal Yisrael. He was going to outsmart the Ribono Shel Olam. You're making me send them out. I'll get them back. Not right now. Not talking about when he chased them later. I'll get them out through schusim in this world. The same way my Zayda did, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to send them out. We're going to escort them out. And then Ribono Shel Olam said, no, we're not going to go to Plishtim. You think we're going to Plishtim, we're going to go to the Midbar. Parai said, then Parai was inside. Because Parai knew that. And Parai said, oh, I just lost my schus. Mariah in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadiyal said, the whole Maisa later, it says the Mitzriim came to Klal Yisrael, and they had a taina, and they said, you took our gold, you came to us, and you borrowed gold and silver, and then small ice, you borrowed stuff from us, we want it back. It says many years later, we want it back. It's ours. You borrowed it, pay back. Klal Yisrael said, no, we worked for you. We were our brother, we worked. And we worked, we were owed wages to Ben. However, Klal Yisrael was supposed to work, they took the work of 430 years of Klal Yisrael were in the Mitzrayim, it says. 430 times the 600,000 people that worked. Only, there's one little trick here. If you leave early, if you have a job to do, and you leave early, you don't get paid. You don't get paid, that's the rule. You don't get paid. You left early, you don't get paid. You can get paid for that part, you don't get paid for everything. But if you get sent out, then you get paid for everything. So Klal Yisrael was supposed to be in Gaul for 430 years. They got out after 210 years, not 430. But you know what happened? Vayhi b'shalach Parai. Parai sent Klal Yisrael out. Because Parai sent Klal Yisrael out, even though they didn't finish their job, they're entitled to full pay. And that's why the Pasuk stresses to us, Vayihi b'shalach Parai. Parai sent Klal Yisrael out, and by him sending them out, they're entitled to all the money. Had they just left, had just said, Vayihi b'tzeis Yisrael in Mitzrayim, and Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, then the Mitzrayim would have had a good time, that you're not entitled to all your pay, because you left in the middle of the job. When a person does a ma'isa, you have to have good intentions. Parai over here was doing malava them. He wasn't being malava. We don't know why the Pasuk doesn't tell us why the original, it seems like he wanted to protect them, make sure no one else started up with them. The Parai with Avraham Avinu when he escorted them. He seemed to have altruistic intentions. Seems so. Over here, this parrot we know certainly didn't. He had 10 knockers come up upon him, and then he chased after them. There were no altruistic reasons. Why was he escorting them? He wanted to get this chus. He says, I'm going to trick Klai, so I'm going to trick God. I'm sending you out, but yeah, don't worry. I still got my hands in you. You guys are not really leaving here. I'll get you back later. My descendants will get you back later. We have to realize, when we do an action, we should have in mind that we should try to realize and do it for the right reasons and the right purposes and not for the bad reasons. And do a mitzvah, we have an opportunity. Do it the right way. You have an opportunity to do tzedakah. You have an opportunity. Sometimes you don't really want to do it. You don't do it for the right reasons. You do it because someone else is giving you, because someone else is pressuring you, or because you're getting a free cookie. Do it for the right reasons, because that's where you get the real sorrow. A little bit later in the parasha, it says in Kapitel Tezvav, Pasuk of Zayin. Vayovoyu Elima, and they came to Elima. Visham Shteim Esre Enes Mayim, there were 12 springs of water. Vishivim Tamarim, and 70 date palms. Vayachnu Shamalamayim. Why in the world do we need to know that they came to this place Elima, and over there were 12 Enes Mayim, there were 12 springs of water, and 70 date palms? Why do we need to know this? Why is Harry telling us this? Dr. Chofetz Chaim, based in Ibn Ezra. Klal Yisrael were in Mara, a place called Mara, for one day. One day. In Mara, all the water was bitter. They had bitter water. Klal Yisrael complained. You give us bitter water, you take us out of the tribe, you give us bitter water. What are we going to do? Pasuk says, you know how long they were in Elima for? 20 days. 20 days. Sometimes, he says, you have to be able to look at the past and the future and not the present tense. If you would have told Klai Yisrael, listen guys, you're going to spend one day in Mara. It's not a greatest place maybe. It could be. But you're going to have 20 days in this place with 12 springs of water, 70 date palms. It's Maridig over there. One day here and 20 days there, it's not so bad anymore. But the problem was that people get, when they have something bad happen to them that seems bad, they get so stuck in themselves and don't focus on all the good that happened to them before and any good that could potentially happen to them in the future. They only focus on, oh, this is no good, look what's happening to me, this is terrible. That's a bad focus. And that's why the positive wants to stress what was there. It was a lot of good. You have to focus on that even when it's not so good. Rabbeinu Ephraim says that Elim, a place called Elim, Aleph, Lamed, Yud, and the Mem, are the Rosh HaTevis for Yaakov Avinu Loimeis. Yaakov Avinu did not die, it says in Chazal. What does that mean? Let's try to get a little bit of a tamtis, a little bit of an understanding of what that means, that this word Elim means that Yaakov Avinu Loimeis. So what does that mean? Sam Sefer says, why did the Rebbeinu Shalom make Kriyas Yamsuf? We know that the Rebbeinu Shalom, when he performs miracles, he likes to generally, unless there's a reason otherwise, he likes to do them within nature. He doesn't like to make nisim that are known. He likes to have everything in nature. Only if there's something, a specific reason, he has to pull it out of nature. Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom make Kriyas Yamsuf? Why didn't he have Klal Yisrael turn around and fight? Fight! If they would have fought a Melchama, they would have fought a war against the Mitzrayim, it would have been still a miracle, perhaps, had Klal Yisrael won, but not the same miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, the Rebbeinu Shalom made that the whole Yam split. It was complete, beyond, unimaginable miracle. If he would have had them fight, even if he would have said, wow, look, there were 600,000 Yidden, there were between 20 and 60. You want to say they were still on the man, they didn't have as many weapons, okay, but there wouldn't have been certainly this magnitude of the nation of Kriyas Yamsuf. So why didn't the Rebbeinu Shalom just have them fight? What's the pshat? As the Sefer says, it says in Devarim, Kapitel Chav Gimel Pasuk Ches, Lo Yisesai Mitzri Ki Geher Yisem Eretz Baratzoi. You should not reject the Mitzri because you were a stranger in their land. What does that mean? We were a stranger in their land. We were a resident in their land. We were in their land for years. They were taking the Jewish children and killing them and bathing in them and sticking them into the walls. Sakta Teri, as you know, they were still our hosts. It's an unbelievable thing, this level of hakaras atayv, how far you have to go. At the end of the day, they hosted us. It's unbelievable. The Gemara Baba Kama Talibe says, you should not throw rocks into the spring where you drink from. What does that mean? Should it be a kafui taiva? You're taking water out of the spring, out of a well. Don't throw rocks in it. What are you hurting the well? The well doesn't know the difference if you throw the rocks. What's the pshat? The pshat is that it's makar is a taiva we have to work on for ourselves. It's not for the other person so much. It's for ourselves. We begin to be makar taiva. We recognize the Rebbeinu Shalom in the world. We understand everything comes from Rebbeinu Shalom. The well doesn't know the difference if you're makar taiva to it. The well doesn't know the difference if you throw a rock in there. But when you're not throwing a rock, you're recognizing that you're not independent. None of us are independent. We have to thank whoever it is, whatever it is. It's a chiyah bin adam la'atzma between a person and himself. You begin to become makir toif to the wall and to the table and to people and to everything else. You begin to realize that you're not independent. You need help. You need the help from the bear. And of course, what's the source of everything? The branchlam. It's a way of coming to be makir toif to the branchlam. So, but first we have to knock your toys to things that could, even perhaps inanimate objects. Perhaps. And then we can understand to get to the level of the makatoyev to the brandishalism. And it says in the pasuk, Hashem yilochim lochem, atem tacharishun. You know why the Rebbeinu Shalom made an ace? Because Klal Yisrael couldn't fight the Mitzrayim. The Rebbeinu Shalom could fight them. The Rebbeinu Shalom wasn't a host, wasn't a visitor, a guest in the land of the Mitzrayim. But Klal Yisrael shouldn't fight them. Klal Yisrael should leave them alone and not fight them. Let God do the work. Let the Rebbeinu Shalom do the work. It's unbelievable. Some cipher. It says in the Malbush, L'Shabbos Yom Tov. Klal Yisrael saw the Yad HaGedolah of the Rebbeinu Shalom. What does the Gedolah represent? Gedolah represents Chesed. The question is why only all of a sudden Mila the Shiur say that Yisrael saw the Yad HaGedolah? Before it said in the pasuk Gimel Gimel to Kibuchozik Yod Hashem, Kibuchozik Yod, that there was the Chozik Yod of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And before in Rabbi Yudal Chesed says Uvnei Yisrael Yoytzim Biyad Rama. So we have Chozik Yod, Yoytzim Biyad Rama, and now we have finally Chesed. We have this. Yeah, he says Yod Hagadolah. Why until now we are not mentioning the Chesed of the Rebbeinu Shalom? Because unfortunately, sometimes we can't see properly. We don't see the Chesed of Hashem. You know when Klal Yisrael saw the Chesed? After they got through the Yam Suf. After when they were saying the Shira now and everything was over, now they say, wow, look at the Chesed of Hashem. When they were in the middle of Klal Yisrael leaving the Mitzrayim, they left with a strong hand, with a mighty arm, but what does that mean? They still didn't realize the Chesed of Hashem, that everything is the Chesed of Hashem. It says in the Bikuri Avot, he says, Mary the Gevart. They have obvious hakdoshim. They never said Shira. We don't see they said Shira. It's the first time Klal Yisrael said Shira. How could it be that the Avos didn't say Shira? What does that mean? What does it mean? Klal Yisrael said Shira, the Avos didn't. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram was saved from the Kibshon Ish. Why didn't he say Shira? Should sing Shira to the Rebbeinu Shalom. He was saved from the Kibshon Ish. He's in a fire. The pshat is that the Avos were so close to the Rebbeinu Shalom. They had such a hakara of the Rebbeinu Shalom. When Avraham Avinu was saved from the fire, he didn't have the same simcha as Klal Yisrael had the joy when they got out of the Yam Suf. Because Avraham Avinu he understood the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom, to him, it was so poshut that the Rebbeinu Shalom runs the world and everything is in control of Rebbeinu Shalom that God decides that the fire is not going to burn me. The fire is not going to burn me. So of course he was thankful and he was makir toiv to the Rebbeinu Shalom. But Shira is this level of was, wow, I'm shocked what happened. Thank you, Rebbeinu Shalom. So if I care, the obvious Hakdoshim not saying singing Shira was not because they were on a low level; they were on even a higher level. They would have such a clear vision of the Rebbeinu Shalom that it wasn't necessary for them to say Shira. Perhaps you can explain. Yaakov Avinu loymes. Yaakov Avinu did not die. What does Yaakov Avinu represent? Yaakov Avinu represents the midah of Akoros Hatayif. What does that mean? It says that Al Kain Kershi and Mokam Sukos. Yaakov called the name of the place where he left, he called it Sukkos. What does it mean? He called it Sukkos. Sukkos means barns. The Rechaim HaKadosh says that Yaakov Avinu was the inventor of barns. Until then, the animals were in just the corrals, but they didn't have a roof over their heads. They stayed outside. Now, what's shining that? Yaakov was a makir toif. To the animals! The animals made him rich! Now again, as we said before, the animals understand that you're saying thank you? No! It's only that he was working on himself to be makir toiv to everything around him, and anything around him, that he should be makir toiv to the Rebbeinu Shalom and recognize the Rebbeinu Shalom. Elim, the name, the place called Elim, Aleph Lamed Yud Mem, Yaakov Avinu Loymes, is supposed to teach us hakaras toiv. Even when things are not going to go, we have to makir toiv, and certainly when we have things that are good. We don't appreciate it, we don't always realize it. There's a Amoraic story to connect one with this. There was a town that the board decided they wanted to do something impressive. They wanted to get their names out there that people should say they were a great board, and they hired from a world-renowned sculpturist going to create a sculpture. They were going to put it in their park. They wanted it to be huge, and they said they were going to pay this guy an exorbitant amount on the condition that it's going to have a real roshim. It's going to really, people are going to say, wow, look at that sculpture. Look what they're doing in our town. This board is amazing. So this renowned, world-renowned sculpturist gets to work. It takes him months and months and months, and he makes a sculpture of a horse. And they put it into the town park. This guy was such a perfectionist. It was so perfect that everyone walked by. They thought there was a horse in the park. Nobody stopped to say, wow, look at that sculpture. There was a horse. Everyone was just walking by. He goes to the board. He says, can I have my money? They say, we're not giving you money. We were going to give you a large amount of money because you were going to make an impression. We were going to get a good name. No one's even paying attention to it. No one's looking at it. So he thinks about it. He goes. He takes a chisel. He knocks off the nose of the horse. Next day, he goes back to the park. Everyone is walking by marveling. Wow! Look at this sculpture. It's amazing. It's incredible. Look at it. It looks real. Only thing is they messed up. What happened to the guy's nose? What happened to the horse's nose? It's such a shame. It could have been a perfect thing, but they had to mess up his nose. So it's such a shame. What's the nimshel? What does that mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't realize what we have. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the human body is so complex. Everything that we have in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kulei toiv. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam has to chas v'shalom ke'ein and knock off the nose so we should realize what we have. Something we have to think about what we have before we lose something, before something happens. We take it for granted. You walk right by the horse. We don't realize what we have, what good we have. Each and every one of us, on different levels. Whatever it is that we have good. We have to recognize it. That's what this pasuk is teaching us. We have to be a makir tov like Yaakov and have a good Shabbos.